Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Way. Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Aishi Gaisha, from time to time, no attention is paid to mine. I feel for you, not just for me. My heart beats on. Why can't you see? Land, weep your mother.
from Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah, from Kenyon Records CD Volume 2, Voices Across the Land. The name of the song was Mother Earth Speaks. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kadishi Native Center. Today's program, we focus on the raping of Mother Earth and oppression of Appalachian communities from the coal mining process known as Mountaintop Removal, MTR. I will be speaking with Mr. Vernon Haltom, a representative of the community organizations Coal River Mountain Watch and Mountain Justice. Vernon and a number of other fellow Appalachian activists are here at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance Gathering, NCOR. They are here in order to present their environmental justice struggle to speak out against having their region become more of a national sacrifice zone from coal mining. Coal mining already has caused tremendous ecological and social impacts to the lands and peoples of Appalachia for many, many years. National Coalition of Organized Resistance is an annual event that brings together activists from a variety of issues, struggles, ideologies, and backgrounds for a weekend of learning and reflecting on the state of progressive movements occurring locally, nationally, and worldwide. Through diverse workshops, panel discussions, skill shares, tabling, and the creation of an open space, NCOR seeks to promote organized action amongst participants against injustices and inequalities that we confront in our daily lives and in the world. NCOR is held on the main campus of American University in Washington, D.C. Yad Kadishi Native Center was honored to be a part of NCOR 2006, networking with many fine groups and individuals committed to working for a better world. NCOR folks share Yad Kadishi Native Center's concern for the protection of Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Meeting other serious peace, social, economic, and environmental justice activists from across the country is very empowering. What I especially appreciated is the fact that the majority of NCOR participants are youth activists. It gives me great comfort to see the dedication of many young people who fight globalization and carry on the struggles against many injustices in the world. At NCOR, Mountain Justice presented a workshop session that informed participants about the human, environmental, and economic dimensions of mountaintop removal. Yad Kadishi Native Center is dedicated to protecting Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Since our beginning, Yad Kadishi has been working to defend Mother Earth by fighting energy, environment, and natural resource issues around the globe. We are proud to have been involved in the establishment and leadership of the National Environmental Justice Movement. Yad Kadishi Native Center's Usit Gamu program, which means protecting Mother Earth, continues to be active in the international environmental justice movement. The issues of coal mining and mountaintop removal have long been a major concern of ours. I myself have visited Appalachia several times in order to document and report on the impacts of clear-cutting forests, coal mining, and resultant water pollution and toxic waste from energy development. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I am a professional ecologist with years of field experience in the science of environmental monitoring and impact assessment. I have worked as a forest and land planner, environmental permitting specialist. I understand the development process of the mining industry, having fought against many projects. I am experienced with the interagency administrative regulatory process of government, having studied a number of law and policies such as the National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, the National Pollution Discharge System, Mine Land Reclamation Act, National Forest Management Act, etc. I have testified against energy land use plans and permit applications across the country, including mountaintop removal coal mining in Appalachia. One such policy change Yad Kadishi Native Center fought was the Bush administration's rules change to the Clean Water Act, which redefines fill material. Mining companies are now able to dump millions of tons of mountaintop debris into nearby streams, which of course greatly damages aquatic ecosystems. The issues around coal mining Appalachia are very similar to the issues of coal mining in Indian country, which Yad Kadishi Native Center has been fighting against for years. The situation of Big Mountain Black Mesa with the Dene, Navajo, and Hopi, or the mining of Cheyenne in Blackfeet lands, as examples, have many similarities to the cultural, environmental, social, and economic impacts happening to Appalachia and other places in the world. Before we listen to today's program guest, Mr. Vernon Haltom, I want to play a song from a CD he gifted me entitled Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia, Rise Up Against Mountaintop Removal, Coal Mining. The song is called Mountains of Home, sung by Greg Treadway. As you listen to the song, please think about the devastating impacts of Appalachian coal mining. The mountaintop removal process begins with clear-cutting thousands of acres of some of the world's most biologically diverse temperate hardwood forests. Much of the timber is either burned or buried. Then, tons of explosives are detonated to loosen the rock. Then the topsoil and rubble are dumped into nearby valleys, polluting waterways. Coal companies then extract the coal seams layer by layer, a process that itself emits toxic coal dust into the air in sediment erosion of the scarred surface land. The coal is prepared for market in processing plants that use a mysterious mix of chemicals to remove impurities. The washed out heavy metals and cleaning compounds are stored in multi-billion gallon toxic waste ponds or sludge dams. Many of these dams are placed precariously above homes, communities, and even schools. There are a number of examples where these waste dams have leaked, polluting the environment and causing human health problems. Several of these toxic pond dams have even failed, resulting in the deaths of people and killing of fish. Entire valleys and communities have greatly suffered from the pollution, contamination, floods, and sedimentation directly as a result of mountaintop removal. Throughout Appalachia, the railroad network of coal trains across the land and despoiling the mountains with no real mine land reclamation adds further insult to injury. The land and people's way of life is totally destroyed.
Shelter of mountains as ancient as time. But little by little, they're killing our mountains in their big D9 dozers and giant drag lines. Trees used to bloom on these hillsides. Sweet William and Laurel grew there in the grove. But the mountaintop mining up there in the holler is stealing the life from this valley I love. I've always believed that the splendors of heaven could never compare to the mountains of home. When the morning sunrise comes to brighten the sky and display all God's glory with every new dawn, you can see all God's glory with every new dawn. Coal from the top of the mountains, my well and the spring in the holler went dry. came and I saw my land become worthless. So I sold when the coal company offered to buy. Now the tears fill my eyes as I stand here gazing at the cold, empty shell of what once was my home. When the sun sets tonight on the Cold River Valley, I'll have packed up my memories and gone. I've always believed that the splendors of heaven could never compare to the mountains of home. When the morning sunrise comes to brighten the sky all God's glory with every new dawn, you can see all God's glory with every new dawn. I've lived all my life in the Cold River Valley, in the shelter of mountains as ancient as time.
Vernon Haltom, I'm with Coal River Mountain Watch and Mountain Justice. We've been fighting mountaintop removal for some time now. We came here today to organize with other folks who are interested in this sort of struggle. It's not just an environmental issue. For us, it's very much a social justice issue as well. You have people whose families go back 9 generations who are being uprooted. People who are being poisoned. Most of the country doesn't know that in West Virginia, each year we use 38 times the net explosive force of Hiroshima to blast the mountains apart. The rubble is dumped into the streams. We've had over 1,200 miles of streams buried or polluted. The rape of the earth goes on and on. It's horrendous. Most people don't believe it when they hear as bad as it is. We're here to generate more interest and speak with more people who are interested in networking with Mountain Justice to bring an end to this practice and bring justice to the coal fields.
Well, in many ways, people of what's now in English called Appalachia are very much treated similarly to how many North American Indians, as we're called. And we have a lot of mining issues across Indian country, so I understand very well the cultural history and social economics of what is happening. For the benefit of our worldwide audience, would you let our listeners know who are the multinational companies that are exploiting Mother Earth?
Well, there are a number of coal companies that are doing it. We have Peabody Energy, who is notorious in the Southwest for what they've done at Black Mesa. In West Virginia, they claim to not do any surface mining. In fact, last year when Mountain Justice Summer was first starting to make a little publicity, their public relations people called us and said, we don't do any mountaintop removal, basically trying to get us not to bother them. But they still do underground mining. And any time you have mining of coal, you have irresponsible practices that go along with the preparation of that coal. You have poisoned water from it. You have sludge dams from that. Massey Energy is the biggest culprit in West Virginia and Kentucky. Massey, not too long ago, was part of a multinational corporation, but now they're, you know, within the United States. But they are nefarious in their dealings with politics. Their CEO, all he has to do is rattle his saber, and our politicians cave in like a house of cards. In 2004, put $2.5 million of his money into a Supreme Court justice race and got his man on the seat. And with nearly immediate results, They have two out of the five West Virginia Supreme Court justices, very close friends or allies, campaign recipients from that, and they vote in that favor. Arch Coal is another one. Arch Coal has vast tracts of mountaintop removal in West Virginia and in other states. A lot of these companies are outside of the state. You know, some of the way they spin it to the local people is, you know, when people like Mountain Justice participants come to West Virginia or Kentucky or Tennessee, they tell the local folks, their workers and their families, that these are out-of-state instigators, when in fact the real out-of-state people are these coal companies. Arch Coal is based in St. Louis. Mack Energy is based in Virginia. 42% of the West Virginia Coal Association is headquartered outside of the state. And so the real outsiders are these companies. It's like a colonial situation. It's a colonial extractive economy. You have outside companies who come in, they wave a little bit of money around, they make some money for a few people, they extract the wealth, and they leave the regions in poverty, they leave the earth destroyed. Some of the most heavily coal-producing counties in West Virginia are some of the poorest counties in the country. They promise wealth and prosperity and leave ruin and poverty in their wake.
Brennan, in many cases in rural America, there's often one predominant industry that wields great economic and political power. In my homeland around my reservation, the giant monster industries are the timber companies. In fact, in several towns, the primary source of work is the pulp and paper mills, which really runs the town. In Appalachia, it is the coal companies. Those of us who are just as organizers and work to defend our communities often receive threats against us, or are publicly insulted, often lose jobs, and in some cases, been physically assaulted. Would you please talk about the hardships involved when one fights against mountaintop removal coal mining?
One of my close family members has received death threats. We've received, while my wife was painting mountains on the mural on the side of our building, somebody drove by and said, "Be careful or we're going to blow those up too." There have been rumors that some of our friends would be dropped down a mine crack and never seen again. One of our close friends who's been fighting this for 18 years has had his cabin burned down. He's had his dogs killed. Gunshots have been fired into his trailer because he will not sell his little patch of 50 acres atop Cape Verde Mountain. The history of the coal companies is horrible. You know, a lot of people don't remember the mine wars of the 1920s and so forth, where coal goons would fire into the tents of women and children. Murder and so forth are not below them. They will resort to that if they have to. This past summer, one of our Mountain Justice activists had the back of his truck vandalized. His window was broken. The building, the house where they were operating from, was paintballed, shot by paintballs. People driving down the road honking at night. The way the coal company does this is they try to divide and conquer the community. They pay a portion of the community to feel that they are privileged and they're special and they're the only ones there, when in fact, you know, it is important to the economy, but it's not the only thing going on. They try to keep that grip, but as they do so, they repress other growing sections of the economy that could work. Tourism is one of West Virginia's most growing industries, but who wants to drive or ride a kayak down a river that's polluted with black water?
Nasco, one, no,
faithful.